Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas, you're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One with LeVar and Mary on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, welcome back, and you are tuned into the, I almost said the 411 Lounge, but Page One. Trust me, it's a holiday weekend. I caught myself. You're tuned into Page One. I am LeVar. It is now July. We are now past the halfway mark of this year. Can you believe it? And
No, I cannot.
No, you cannot. And that voice that you heard is my friend Mary. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. So we are, one of the things about today, if you go to, and I'm going to try to explain this as best as I can, July 2nd. Is the 183rd day of the year, 184th in leap years in the Gregorian calendar. 182 days remain until the end of the year. This day is the first day of the second half of the year, as well as the midpoint of a common year, because there are 182 days before and 182 days after it in common years. So the exact time of the middle of the year is at noon. In countries that use summertime, the actual exact time of the midpoint in a common year is at 1 p.m. for locations in the northern hemisphere or 11 a.m. for locations in the southern hemisphere. This is when 182 days and 12 hours have elapsed, and there are 182 days and 12 hours remaining. The middle of the year is at, in some of those countries, the middle of the year is at midnight. Right now, if you haven't committed to 2021, you are now committed to it.
Right?
Yes. It's no turning back, as they say.
We've gone beyond the point of no return.
Yep, we are beyond that point. I will tell you tonight, every week I say this, but every week we seem to go into overtime, but I will tell you tonight, there's not a lot because it's a holiday weekend. Tonight, I'm actually extending out some things with the hope that that actually extends our time. Whatever time we end tonight is when we will end, maybe early, maybe right on time. If we really get into discussion about some things, it may be a little late, but I don't think so. So if you're listening, glad that you're here. But tonight, I promise you this. There will be three retro moments of the week. Also, bringing back yay or nay for tonight. We've got some good things, some things that I have sent to Mary, and a couple of things I did not.
Nice.
So there will be an extended yay or nay segment tonight. Also, on the program, like I said, retro moment and yay or nay, that pretty much is it. We do have the almanac. And even the month of July, it's not a lot. So I was like, the almanac won't even take that long, really, to kind of get through tonight, which is why I always rely on host chat to at least get us through the first few minutes. But I know our topic tonight, the first topic, could be one that takes us up to the half-hour mark because – it was big news pretty much this week, and I was told by Mary at one point that when we did discuss this topic finally, that it would probably be one in which we could discuss for quite a while, so I'm almost depending on that. So before I go into that, just to let you know, start of July. This is National Peach Month. It is also National Picnic Month, Blueberry Month, Retailer Month, Ice Cream Month, Hot Dog Month, Horseradish Month. Does that also count horsey sauce from Arby's?
God, I hope so. That's good stuff.
It is National Grilling Month, Culinary Arts Month, Cell Phone Courtesy Month. That should be every month.
Right?
It is also Baked Bean Month, Anti-Boredom Month, Watercolor Month, Contract Sewing Month, and National Hemp Month. That's it.
Okay.
That's it. July, it's not a lot of national things going on in the month. Also, today, July 2nd, yesterday was National Postal Worker Day and U.S. Postage Stamp Day, and also Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day. But today is it's only one day today, and it is national, and I'm going to get this so wrong, forgive me. I remember this from last year, but it is National Onset Day. Am I correct in saying that?
You're asking me. I have no idea.
Then I'm going to say for now, since you don't know, I'm going to say I'm correct. But pretty much National Onset Day is for the aniseed, the one that tastes like licorice. I'm not sure if you are familiar with, there was some cookies, I believe, that have aniseed in it every holiday season. I tried it last year. Didn't like it. Actually, as a matter of fact, now that we have our new clip, I'm going to actually say it again. But tried the cookies.
It's definitely no for me, dog.
Yeah.
But, nice.
Didn't really like the cookies. Tomorrow, it is National Fried Clam Day. Do you like clams?
I do. I am a connoisseur of all sorts of seafood and shellfish stuff.
Interesting. If you listen to this program long enough, you know that Mary is the seafood fan. I am not. The only thing beyond on the seafood side that I would probably eat is probably like some fried catfish would probably be about it. And even then, Mary did not know anything about fish and spaghetti. So for those of you who are listening and know about that, yeah, you can keep your card. tomorrow is actually also National Eat Your Beans Day. National Chocolate Wafer Day. It is National Compliment Your Mirror Day and Hop a Park Day. And then, of course, on Sunday, it is Independence Day, National Barbecued Spare Ribs Day, National Caesar Salad Day, which I don't know is why that is on the 4th of July.
salad.
And then on Monday, it's National Apple Turnover Day, Graham Cracker Day, Hawaii Day, Workaholics Day. You definitely have to be a workaholic if you're working on Monday. And it is also National Bikini Day. So you can celebrate on Monday
don't
by
ask,
wearing a
no.
bikini. Hmm? National Fried Chicken Day is on the 6th. And then on the 7th, it is National National Strawberry Sundae Day, National Macaroni Day, which I know you will love. It is also National Dive Bar Day.
Ooh, love me some dive bar.
Yes. And then on next Thursday, it is National Chocolate with Almonds Day and National Freezer Pop Day. Haven't had a good freezer pop in a long time. I remember back in the day.
I love freezer pops.
here's the thing. I don't want to get in trouble because one of these days down the line, we may have sponsors and they may be listening. But when it comes to freezer pops, I'm going to be careful with how I say this. Growing up for me, it was flavor ice or bust. Anything else that you bought just didn't taste right. The only thing that could probably save that would be like those big, huge ones that they used to sell. But beyond that, yeah, if you got like the cheapy flavor ice ones that tasted pretty much like water, no. Yes, I am a popsicle snob. Yeah.
Somebody asked
me. That's pretty much it. I know. It's like the ice cream truck. You know, you have your favorites. And I know every time, and I'm pretty sure it'll come up, that they usually will get that big, huge, long list of, like, two have to go. But for me, the ice cream truck, when it came along, it usually was a couple of things. I usually would get either the Bomb Pops or I would get, like, the ice cream with the gumball, which was always my favorite. Every once in a while, you get the soft serve truck. And that was probably the softest soft serve that I think I've ever seen because it usually melted as soon as you turned around and headed home. But that's a lost art, though. You don't see a lot of ice cream trucks anymore, which is kind of sad. So, I don't know. Are there ice cream trucks in your neck of the woods?
Oh, God, yeah. Are you kidding? That's a major thing, ice cream trucks. The problem is, You gotta be careful with which ice cream trucks you got, because some of them are like, you know, actual good ice cream trucks, and then there are the like the people that have a van with a cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you gotta be careful.
Yeah, those are the ones you gotta watch for. The guy with the cooler.
Cooler.
Yes. Well, you know what also is actually very good in select neighborhoods, if you can find them, and I'm going to get this so wrong, is it Paletta? I'm going to get this so wrong. Somebody out there is screaming because they know the name of it, but the gentleman with the ice cream that's kind of like it's like a flavored fruit bar, but it's really good. Every year in select neighborhoods, if you find a guy and he has like a little bell and he's walking with it, and I will usually get, I know some people like the mango or the other wild flavors. I'm kind of like a traditionalist. I'll either get the strawberry or maybe the watermelon or I'll try it, but it's actually good stuff. So, yeah, nice and healthy for you.
Is it though? I mean, is it really?
I would think that it's got fruit in it. So anything that has fruit in it can't be all bad, right?
I mean, that's what I used to try to say to my parents, but they still got on my case.
Here's my thing. If you got fruit in it, then you are fulfilling part of your regulatory dietary expectation. So I'm going with that. And we'll keep it
there. You go.
But with all that being said, like I said, tonight, a few things to talk about. One of the big things this week was about, we're going to talk a little bit of sports. We'll start off with some sports, which is, you know, I don't think we've really talked about any major sports stories for a little bit here. Kind of missed that. But one of the things this week, as everyone knew, as of Thursday, July 1st, all NCAA athletes will be able to profit from their name, image, and likeness after the governing bodies from all three NCAA divisions voted to approve the interim NIL policy on Wednesday. Now, college athletes will still have to adhere by NIL rules in their specific states, but can now profit from sponsorships and endorsements. So students who play for programs in a state without an NIL law could still engage in this type of activity and not be in violation of the rules. Colleges and universities will decide whether or not certain activities are in accordance with the state laws, and all three divisions agreed to continue to avoid pay-for-play and improper inducements tied to choosing to attend a particular school. The interim policy will be enforced until federal legislation passes or new NCAA rules are introduced. Mark Emmert, who is the president of the NCAA, said that this is an important day for college athletes since they are all now able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness opportunities. With a variety of state laws adopted across the country, we will continue to work with Congress to develop a solution that will provide clarity on a national level. The current environment, both legal and legislative, prevents us from providing a more permanent solution and the level of detail student athletes deserve. You know, when I first heard about this, it was good for them because the NCAA, which is, what's the word I want to use here without being too, too bold? I would say the NCAA pretty much was the equivalent of a pimp, pretty much utilizing players. And you couldn't even allow them to make their own money. And, I mean, let's face it, I mean, it kind of was. I mean, where else do you know where you, even though you're getting, in essence, paid through way of scholarship, but that's a far minuscule thing considering how much in TV rights and in other things the NCAA is kind of making off of student athletes. You know, and this whole thing I think would have been avoided had students under guidelines, because I think there has to be guidelines here. You just can't go willy-nilly and, like you said, improper pay-to-play. But if there were guidelines set up, I think, years ago, we wouldn't have gotten to this point, even now where the Supreme Court pretty much turned their back on you and be like, yeah, you guys are wrong. And, you know, you looked bad. And I don't know, your thoughts when you first heard this?
I mean, something needed to happen. We needed to have, and you're right, as bad as that sounds, as much as I was laughing, the whole pimp thing is true. Like, it needed to be figured out, because you can't expect the students to make you money and not be able to pay them back in some way. And not just the scholarships either. I mean, yeah, the scholarship is good, but they're endorsing deals, they're wearing your products, you're making money off these people. And that's not fair. So there needed to be something. But then there also needed to be, I don't know, it's one of those weird, like, it's back and forth kind of things to me.
Right.
I get where they're going and I get what's happening, and that's important. But I don't know. I think it's kind of a wait and see for me at this point, because like, I'd like to see how this works out. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. And I'm guessing at this point, too, since we're on this topic of people earning it, because now I was like, you know, there was a great SI article that came out, and it pretty much was like, hey, it's going to be a cluster you know what, because now that everybody's allowed to profit off their name, which is likely, the governing body really, because they weren't already there with rules and regulations, it's kind of created a chaotic and uneven playing field. You know, players who, even though it's long overdue, the thing is that now, you know, like we said, the more popular NCAA athletes, you know, just how much can they earn? You know, could these be potential college kids being millionaires, or could, because I could think of a few people already that could earn a lot of money by way of either, I think there was some two twins, and I'm trying to remember their names, and I know that they played for softball team in the NCAA, and I think they already had, like, pretty much had started to go out and branch out and start to make money. And then, like I said, I haven't seen it yet, but I know where, you know, a star athlete, probably if you're a quarterback at the University of Alabama, you know that you're going to get a lot of national recognition, and you're going to be going out there and probably making some money. You might be making more than, say, the left guard at I'm thinking of a small D1 school, but you know, probably at like, you know, Florida
Gonzaga.
Atlantic or Gonzaga. You know, so it pretty much is, you know, at this point, you know, in order to level it, because if you don't leave something out there as to where, you know, like, because you're going to get a lot of players like, well, I'm not no name and I'm want to, you know, I'm a offensive lineman. I'm not going to make as much as so-and-so. And I don't think that's fair that he's able to kind of like profit like that and buying, you know, all these high-end vehicles because you guys now allowed him to make money. But I don't know, even then, I was like, at that point, is it fair to put a cap on something that a student athlete can make, or where do you start and where do you end?
Right. And that's where it's like, and that's where I'm at too. It's the question of where do you put a cap, if there is one, because there should be. I'm sorry. I've always been that person that is like, I don't understand why kids are getting so, like, there's so much recruitment for athletes, but I don't see that kind of recruitment or money getting put into students. And some students, some athletes are student athletes, but they actually are there for their education. So there's got to be that, like, hey, if you're here to play because you can't make it into the pros yet, but you want to make that kind of money, that I don't think that's fair, especially for some of the smaller schools.
And also here, too, reading some further articles here and some quotes, Leonard Fournette, who had a good gripe because he was a great running back at LSU. He says the NCAA had forced his family to return thousands of dollars they earned from a product apparel line branded with his BUGA Nation mark. He said, how much money would I have made from all those number 7 jerseys at LSU? He said, I could have been straight with cash before I was straight. Now, as of yesterday, those actions, if reported properly to schools, would be legal. Athletes can earn money along a wide range of avenues, a public appearance, endorsing a product at a local restaurant, or an autograph session at a grocery, a live youth camp at a hometown park, or private instructions in their backyard, their own clothing line, or their own shoe brand. Most athletes' compensation will come through social media and be arranged via digital marketplaces, allowing them the ease to strike deals from their homes with the push of a button. Majority of college athletes, those without the star power to land powerful agencies and mega deals, have already created profiles on a wide range of those digital marketplaces. So pretty much now it's kind of like a grab to try to now, quote, legally make that money. And you know, and not say, here's the thing, and this is where I guess I am very I think this is where the NCAA, they're going to get the blame for it too, especially if something happens and a star athlete who is not familiar with the rules goes out and does something that earns them a lot of money. And part of it was not legal and the other half was. What do you do then? Because now we've kind of like reached a point as to where, you know, do we make all of these student athletes sign something to say that they understand the rules, or is it, you know, upon them to learn it? And even then, if you're in the middle of a championship season, you know, and you did something that you thought was right, how do you punish that? You know?
And I don't know the answer to that. I wish that was a simple question. That's why this has always been an issue, because it's the whole student athlete or student who happens to be an athlete at a school where they could move on to a professional career and being able to earn that kind of money. Because as a work study program, like as a student, I can earn money while I'm sitting there and trying to, like, to make my way through school. Now, is it going to be $10,000 because I showed up at some restaurant? Probably not.
Right.
But again, and you got to remember, these are 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are highly influenced by a lot of different people. And they have to have their heads on their shoulders, too. I'm glad it's happening, but then I don't know that they did it right, I guess is where I'm at.
And then it also makes me wonder, too, are you going to – because we all know D1 athletes are going to make, you know, 98% of all the money now that's out there. No one knows if D2 or D3 athletes. But even then, where do you draw the line with what – do we put specifics on what they can earn money from, like different companies? Because what if someone says, hey, I want to go out and I want to wear a Pornhub T-shirt. Do you put a stop at that?
Right.
I mean, where does it start and where does it end, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's where does it start and where does it stop? Because it should. It should. I mean, there should be a line there, right? But then if Pornhub is going, hey, we'll pay you $50,000 so that we can use your likeness.
What happens if you get a female athlete who signs something with Victoria's Secret? I mean, this you know, where do you draw?
Oh yeah,
line?
Like models. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Because
like
I know one
model.
One particular person who I know could be a model right off the bat and doesn't even need to really finish college would be Cameron Brink. I think at Stanford. Very beautiful person. She could pretty much go Bali. She's like the prototypical tall model. She would fit it right away. She's going to get a lot of, you know, now that it's wide open, she could get a lot of deals that come her way. So, you know, it's just like, if where's
but
the
But that's where it comes down to it. It needed to happen, but it didn't. I like I said, I don't know that they thought it all the way through. It's that whole,
right.
The typical they were making a peanut butter jelly sandwich and assuming that everybody knew how to make a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And you had that one person that was taking them literally by their step-by-step process. So when they said, you know, put the peanut butter on the bread, they put a jar of peanut butter on a bag of bread. How is that a peanut butter jelly sandwich? You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I think the NCAA just jumped a bunch of steps because they're like, this is what – we all know what it means. No, we don't. And you almost have to be that detailed. You have to go back through. And then here's the other thing. Are you going to separate out female sports from male sports? Because that's
mm-hmm.
kind of ridiculous. Like a male sport – a football player at Alabama is going to earn 10 times more than most female athletes other than maybe that one athlete at Stanford unless they end up doing something like a Victoria's Secret, like a GoDaddy where they were doing like, you know, I don't know that they still do their advertising, but if they're doing those kind of advertising, do you see where I'm going with this? Like they're not going to earn or even have the potential to earn millions of dollars comparative to the quarterback at Alabama who could if the right thing came along.
Gotcha. Hey, real quick, and I don't want to put my friend here on the spot, but I wanted to have her tell you guys really quick about something exciting that we are doing on social media. And I sent out something earlier tonight over on Twitter at NewsComment.BTR, and that is the fact that we are expanding our exposure on Discord. Would you like to tell the folks?
That sounds so dirty.
I thought about it as I was saying it, and then you took it.
I'm supposed to, okay? That's why we have two people on the show. I'm supposed to take it there. Our digital footprint. What LeVar is trying to say is we have a Discord server. Yay! It's still under construction. It is still being tweaked, and bots are being added, and we should be – it's going to take some time, and it's going to grow and expand. But as the community grows and expands, we'd like you guys to be part of it. And by being part of the Discord server, you also have access to talking to us outside the show. So there will be different ways to interact. There will be different ways to interact with other people that are fans of the show. You'll be able to give us ideas and move us forward into, you know, the next big thing. So that's what we're doing.
Yes, so we hope that you can join us over there and check us out on Discord because we will start doing some things here soon in regards to show extras that will not be seen anywhere else. So one of the things on that page is actually a section that will be there soon called LeVar's Take. Not really a commentary, but just maybe some cool things that you could probably look into, because my brain, if you ever have a conversation with me, goes into a whole bunch of different things. And one of the takes tonight that I will actually tell you is that this weekend, of course, as we said, is the 4th of July. It's also the date that we lost 24 years ago journalist Charles Kuralt, who is definitely one of my journalism heroes. He actually passed away on July 4th, 1997. You know, he was known for his time at CBS and on his On the Road segments, and of course also as the host of CBS News Sunday Morning. And the On the Road segments, if you've never had a chance to watch them, definitely heartwarming, nostalgic vignettes in which you should – I mean, we're so lucky in this era now of YouTube – you're able to actually see a few of them. And I always, a couple of the stories that used to always get to me was one about a family, and I do believe in Mississippi. This was back in the mid to late 1970s. The parents had been married for over 50 years. All the kids, it was a household of, I think, over 10 kids. And, of course, growing up in a rural area and that time in the South, you know, things you weren't expected to really go far. But the household, the parents who did not have a chance to get higher education themselves, went on to produce doctors, teachers, a lot of people in industry. And his one of his On the Road stories was all of them coming home for the holidays. And just seeing the parents beaming with pride, it definitely was a story that it touches you. And I think another one I remember was an older gentleman who fixed bikes for kids in a small rural town. And he would rent them out. But the thing was that you had to read and you had to do particular things. And I know a lot of those people have long since passed away and gone. But great stories if you have a chance to go online and check out a lot of the work of Charles Kuralt, who passed away this weekend about 24 years ago. So definitely something to watch, and you'll see why he is definitely one of the great writers and journalists who I think so highly of. But that takes us now to halfway point of the show on this halfway point of the year. Three retro moments tonight. I won't tell you what they are. You pretty much will figure them out. One of them, like I said, a summer treat, also summer relief, and maybe something that you drank early in the morning throughout the year. But all of them you'll recognize. And then on the other side, tonight, we will have an extended look at what's trending, and then we will go into Yay or Nay, which returns kick off the month of July. But first, you are listening to Page One with LeVar and Mary. We'll be right back.
What oh what you do? Doodly doodly do. What do you do when your tummy's upset and your head is aching too?
Ding, you go plop plop.
Plop.
Fizz fizz.
Fizz.
Alka-Seltzer.
The bubbly whiz.
Ooh, what fast relief it is. Bubbles beyond belief. Hear the sound of fast relief.
Alka-Seltzer speeds relief to your aching head and upset stomach.
Oh, what fast relief. Alka-Seltzer is.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up to Tang.
Tang, the happy new breakfast drink you don't squeeze, unfreeze, or refrigerate. Yet it gives your family more of the vitamin C everyone needs every day. In fact, Tang gives you more vitamin C than the finest orange juice, fresh or frozen. More vitamin A, too. And Tang is so much easier to fix. Watch. Ice cold water in a juice glass, plus one rounded tablespoon of Tang. Stir, and instantly you have delicious Tang. Everyone loves its sunny, wide-awake flavor. Tang tastes fresh because you make it fresh each morning. You get more flavor, plus More vitamin C and A than even the freshest orange juice. Look for the jar with the orange-colored cap at your grocer's now. And every morning, wake up to Tang.
T-A-N-G. It's yum yum fun that is cool and cheap, and its name is a Snoopy snow cone machine. You put ice cubes in and get a snow cone.
Some assembly required, and you mix the fudge flavor.
It's yummy, Snoopy.
It's the yum yum fun that is cool and cheap, and its name is the Snoopy snow cone machine.
Snoopy snow cone machine comes with everything you see here from Hasbro.
You're listening to Page One with LeVar and Mary on Blog Talk Radio, your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to Page One with LeVar and Mary, everyone, for this Friday night, July 2nd, 4th of July weekend. So I'm pretty sure you recognized one of the voices, and that was Sammy Davis Jr. for Alka-Seltzer. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, which I'm pretty sure a lot of you will need some point this weekend.
Yes.
Tang, I've never had Tang. Is it?
I've had Tang
really.
Once.
How did it taste?
I don't remember, but enough for me not to like have it again. Let's be honest.
The experience moved you that much as to where you recalled not even wanting to taste it again. Yes. And then, of course, the wonderful Snoopy Milko machine. Did you own one?
No. I wanted one, but no.
Actually, there is one out now. Part of the Retro Toy series, there are Snoopy Milko machines out. I should get you one, and then when I am in Vegas in a few weeks, we will have to do a test to see just how well it works. I saw the commercial. I was like, there's no way those kids got any snow cone out of that, because they put like some pretty big ice cubes in there. And for that small thing, there's no way that that machine could have chopped it up like that.
I mean,
probably went
true question mark.
Put it to the test, maybe. Maybe I'll go ahead and I'll get you a Snoopy snow cone machine, and we'll test it out. Take a look at trending on Twitter tonight. Of course, it is Friday night, so SmackDown is actually the number one trending topic right now. The Gulf of Mexico is also trending, as a fire in the Gulf of Mexico that was captured in several videos has now been extinguished, with Mexican state-owned oil company Pemex blaming a gas leak from an underwater pipeline for the blaze. Zendaya is actually trending. So a lot of people.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
Well, actually, it's a good thing. People Magazine, photos captured Zendaya and Tom Holland kissing while in Los Angeles on Thursday. Years after denying a rumor, it pretty much is now official, because they were in the car making out, and both looked very happy. So, yeah.
They all knew it was true.
Yeah. Also trending tonight, Free Hamilton Show. An intrepid singer, it says, is performing all the songs from the musical Hamilton as part of a solo and a cappella show on Spaces. So if you have Spaces, you can see that. Also, Love After Lockup is trending. Also trending tonight is, I'm going to get to that in a second. Let's see. Actually, none of these. Happy Fourth is trending. Breaking tonight, North Miami Beach is trending as the city of North Miami Beach has ordered that Crestview Towers condominium be immediately closed and evacuated on Friday evening after a building inspection report found it to have unsafe structural and electrical conditions. Really, for those folks down there, this has just been one long week of heartbreak, and our thoughts are definitely with them. And the sad thing today, I know, was that one of the firefighters, they found his daughter in the wreckage. So it's definitely, I know on this holiday weekend, our hearts, thoughts and prayers are definitely with them. And also I know they also have to have one eye out for Tropical Storm Elsa, which seems to be picking up a little bit. Definitely hope that that does not become anything down that way. Also, trending tonight is turkey leg hunt. So, turkey leg hut, I'm sorry. So, here's the thing, and I'm not familiar with turkey leg hut. There's no turkey leg huts here locally. But what happened was that there is a place, and I'm trying to figure out exactly where, and I know somebody is going to tell us or let us know. But turkey leg hut went ahead and posted on its Twitter page a strict dress code. Now, you know, if I am hearing of a place called Turkey Leg Hut, I would not think that they would need to have a strict dress code.
Right.
The things that they posted here, and among some of the things, were it says, enjoy your visit, but underneath it says, all body parts must be completely covered. All cleavage, breasts, thighs, and buttocks must be completely covered. The only thing naked here is turkey legs and chicken wings. No swimwear. No swimwear of any kind is allowed. This is the heart of Third Ward, not mine, not the beach. And by the way, what I am reading to you is from their list. No exposed undergarments. It says no exposed undergarments allowed. This includes sports bras, bras, panties, or anything resembling these items. This also includes white tanks for men. No house attire allowed. It says, now this is where a lot of people got a little bit upset, and I can kind of see where it is pointed towards, and I'm not going to say anything, but I'm just reading it as it is. So they say no wave caps, bonnets, do-rags, also no bandanas, house shirts or house shoes or shower caps allowed. It says we want you to feel at home, but this is not your home in bold. No excessively revealing clothing, which also is on that list. And it says all distressed or ripped clothing, shoes, and shirts must cover your entire top and bottom. And then no obscene language or baggy clothing. No attire with obscene language or inappropriate offensive graphics. No excessively, and it puts this in bold, no excessively bagging or sagging pants. Pants must be worn at natural waistline. So a lot of people are kind of saying that that's pointing towards a particular group. I'm not going to get into all of that tonight, but that is the reason why Turkey Leg Hut is trending. I will leave it for you as to what people were thinking. So that's part of what's trending. Let's hope that, you know, my news stories like that are the only things trending after this weekend. If that's the only thing that people are up in arms about right now, I'm good with it. you know what I'm saying? I would much rather there be people up in arms about that than some natural disaster or catastrophe or something else that's happening. And by the way, folks, well, I'm going to say it again toward the end of the show, but particularly for areas that have seen a high range of gun violence. And I know, unfortunately, I've had to point out things that have happened here in Chicago, being from here. Put the freaking guns away. I mean, there's no need for all that. And I would almost rather hear fireworks, which you probably hear, excessively than to hear gunshots or to hear about a baby that was in a a line of fire, such as what happened here yesterday. Young baby, not even a year old, was shot, and luckily after surgery, the doctors say that she will make a full recovery, just a scrape on her head, and it did not pierce her skull. But, you know, kids did not – kids and legal, you know, adults who were doing the right thing don't want that. We didn't ask for it. It's almost makes you want where you just take everybody who wants to do that out to a desert somewhere, and whoever's left standing after a day will come back and get you. But it's insane. But that's another comment for another day. So, but want to do yay or nay here tonight in the time that we have remaining, and I'll try and get through as many of these as we can get through. One of the things I think I kind of teased it last week. Is a part of yay or nay tonight. But there were a few things that I saw that I'll just go ahead and start, because you had to have to hear it to believe it. But if you have not listened to yay or nay before, I pretty much will go through a few quick stories that pretty much will have either you for it or against it. And yeah, Mary will pretty much tell you what. But anyway, first story. UK and University of Otago researchers have prevented a, quote, world-first weight loss device, which attaches to the teeth and prevents patients from opening their mouths wider than 2 millimeters using magnetic devices and custom-manufactured locking bolts. The researchers say that this medieval-sounding machine, which is fixed to the first molars with orthodontic cement by a dentist, doesn't restrict breathing or speech, but holds people to a liquid diet. In a study published in the British Dental Journal, that's another joke for somewhere else, and I'm not going there, 7 healthy obese ordered devices for 14 days. They were given a commercially available liquid diet to follow, giving them 1,200 kcal of energy per day. Mean weight lost over this period was around 14 pounds. Now, the jaw lock device appears to have been conceived as a less invasive, less dangerous, and more humane way to achieve what doctors were going for in the 1980s when some patients had their jaw surgically wired shut, a practice that left people at serious risk of choking if they had vomited. So to avoid that possibility, pretty much what this diet control does is it comes with an emergency unlocking tool for users to carry with them at all times. No participant in the study reported having used this key, although one patient admitted to cheating by sneaking in some melted chocolate and fuzzy drinks. So, yay or nay to the fact of having a device now to pretty much restrict your jaw access to eating.
So what you're saying is we've replaced wiring your jaw shut to now electromagnets.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no. sorry, was that too quick? I'm sorry, I'll retype that. No, and to the heck no. I mean, I guess there's some people that would rather do that because they can't maintain their own diet, I guess, and they don't have the willpower to do so. I wasn't a big fan of wiring your jaw shut, so this is just a different way of wiring your jaw shut.
I was actually quite shocked at the fact that I know why it's something that's overseas. I don't know if that would really fly here. I'm not even sure if the Food and Drug Administration would even approve that. But anyway, that's going to be a no for me. What I teased about last week and is a part of yay or nay this week, I kid you not, there was an article that came out, and I will read you the headline. It says that Netflix gives a 2-season order to a dating show, Sexy Beast, with catastrophe star Rob Delaney as narrator. It is a new dating series and produced by All3Media and Backline TV. The streamer signed on for 2 seasons of the reality show, which sees singles heading into blind dates transform into various animals and mythical creatures through the use of Hollywood movie prosthetics. The show is based on Lion TV's original British series for digital channel BBC Three in 2014. The format has traveled around the world, bolstered by demand for big visual costume-led formats on the back of the Masked Singer's success. The first 6-part season of episodes will be released globally on July 21st, with a second season of 6 more episodes due to drop later this year. Each episode, by the way, will feature a new singer who's looking for love based purely on personality. They select from among 3 potential love matches, all of whom are in full prosthetic makeup. The rub, however, is that the single will see the real face of the chosen match only after they've made their final decision, which pretty much is based entirely on their personality. Over the 2 seasons, 48 unique makeup designs were created, with each design especially for the show's contributors by their prosthetic artists. So yay or nay to a dating show in which you actually have to choose someone based on personality instead of looks and dressing up as animals and mythical creatures.
Okay. This is going to sound so wrong. I'm okay with it. I'm not a furry, just so that the people that are listening, I know you probably don't know what that is, but I'm not. But I'm okay with it. Here's the problem that I see. It's never about that. Somebody's going to look at something and go, ooh, unicorn, cool, I like that. And then they're going to find out the guy's like a psychopath. It's a show for furries, unfortunately. So, bravo to you guys for getting Netflix to do a show on furries. It doesn't bother me. It's one of those weird things that I might watch just to see how well it goes, and then we'll go from there. But it doesn't bother me.
I had a feeling if you said that you were trying to watch that. At this point, I'm going to go, because pretty much just about everything else has come out. Am I going to watch it? Probably not. But I'll be honest with you, probably not.
I might watch one episode, yeah. We'll see. If it's a good episode, I ended up watching Nailed It after one episode, so.
Oh, and then one of our other yay or nays here, this from the BBC, as a flying car completes its test flight between airports. A prototype flying car has completed a 35-minute flight between international airports in Nitra, and I got to tell you, folks, for the for pure openness here, I'm actually reading this with one eye because the other eye is now, really bad. But it is Bratislava, Slovakia, and I hope I got that pronounced correctly. But pretty much the hybrid car aircraft or air car is equipped with a BMW engine and runs on a regular petrol pump fuel. Its creator said it could fly about 600 miles at the height of 8,200 feet, and it clocked up to 40 hours in the air so far. It takes 2 minutes and 15 seconds to transform from car into aircraft. The narrow wings float down alongside the sides of the car. The creator said that they drove it straight off the runway and into town upon arrival, watched by invited reporters. He described the experience early on Monday morning as, quote, normal and very pleasant. In the air, the vehicle reached a cruising speed of 170 kilometers. It can carry 2 people with a combined weight limit of 200 kilograms, or 31 stone. I'm going to leave that up to you to figure out because it's a BBC article. But unlike drone taxi prototypes, it cannot take off and land vertically and requires a runway. But there is high expectations for a market in flying cars, which has long been heralded in popular culture as a visionary landmark of the future. This consultant company, Morgan Stanley, in 2019, predicted the sector could be worth $1.5 trillion by 2040. So, yay and nay to the fact of flying cars.
I'd love to have a flying car if it would actually work. By the way, 31 stone is about 430 pounds, roughly.
Okay, so I would just make it. Okay.
Oh, stop. I know that I can't take somebody else with me because I'm going to take about 300 pounds of luggage. But I would love to have a flying car. I see problems with flying cars because people in regular cars can't seem to drive on the road in a straight line anyway. So now you're adding in the fact that we're going to be flying and an airstrip. Yeah, I would love to. I would love to fly in a flying car at least once in my lifetime. That would be like I could die happy at that point, you know, be like, yay. I'd really like for somebody to do the whole beam me up Scotty thing. Like, I mean, come on, let's work on teleportation before flying cars. Like, I want to be instantly on the beach. I would pay more for that. Like, I would pay the $800 that would cost me to fly round trip to wherever for instant travel. Yes, please, and thank you.
But if I have to deal with
the flying car, then I'll take a flying car.
I'm all for it, but right now...
it's definitely enough for me, dog.
The only reason why it is because right now I don't think people are really ready for it, and you got so many people out here who are either really scary drivers or who are road rage. I don't want to see cars falling out of the sky. So right now, I'm going to say no. Until, you know, you got to get like a special license, undergo a psych eval, and a few other things. Because I don't want to see just any
like if I
person
could get a pilot to do that, like a pilot with like a flying car, that would be pretty awesome. And if there's a single pilot that has a flying car, by all means, I will be your best friend. Just take me on trips with you, and I can be your beard if you need it. I think we'd have to become pilots or something because of the way that the cruising altitude is. We're still having people get into car accidents with cars that drive themselves. So, I'd love to see it. I just don't know that it's a good thing to happen right now.
Right. And on that note, the clock on the wall is telling us that we are just about out of time. I'm going to leave the last story because it really wasn't much. It was just about the fact that Twizzlers just revealed what its mystery flavor was, which is pretty much raspberry. Ugh. Let's not even go there.
Ooh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, that's going to be another no. But
Can I ask a question before we go?
Yeah, you can.
Have you gone to Sonic and tried the red, white, and blue slushy thingy yet?
No, I have not, which you know how I feel about specific blue foods.
I had to ask it. I had to. It was something that I was like, I need to itch. This is an itch I need to scratch. So.
Well, you know what? next week, if we have time, I will talk about my issue with blue foods. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person that has an issue with particular color type foods. So we'll talk about that next week.
And just so that everybody knows, these are the kind of things that might make their way onto the Discord, especially on like if we do an after show.
I'm glad you said that because I actually think that should make you onto a Discord show. If we don't get the Discord before then, we'll talk about it, but it could make the Discord. So one of those you'll have to see.
Right.
But, no, it all will depend. Maybe, maybe not. If I get there, I might. If it's too much blue, I'm not going to touch it. But, yeah.
that's hilarious.
Shout out to the movie.
Yes, actually I do. There's a couple of people that have been helping me with the Discord and getting that kind of set up and putting it in the right direction. So thank you to those two people. They know who they are. They're asleep right now because they're not in the U.S. So, or at least they should be asleep right now because they're not in the U.S. Yeah, thank you to those guys for really helping me out and getting that set up. And hopefully we'll have the Discord up and running and available for just good, clean interaction between everyone and everyone else, like having that community. So, yeah, thank you to those guys. That's my big shout out tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, and by the way, if you guys listen to us, we get a lot of hits from everywhere. If you listen to us from overseas or if you're listening to us on any of our platforms, whether it is iHeartRadio or whether it's Apple or whether it's Blog Talk Radio, let us know. We'd love to know who's listening and from where. And definitely, as always, we thank you for listening, and we thank you for tuning in with us every week as we share these stories with you. And, of course, you can always catch them here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check us out on the web, newscommentblog.com. Also on Twitter, Mary is over at
Blue Eyes Mama.
And I'm over at newscommentbtr. So happy 4th of July holiday weekend. Please, please, please be safe. Don't drink and drive. Be careful out there on the roads. And definitely take care of yourselves and each other. And thanks so much for listening. We want to see everybody back here next Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Until then, enjoy your holiday weekend, folks.
To page one. Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at News Comment BTR and add us as a podcast on Apple.